Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Sickest Ween Wednesday yet, I think. It's Ryan Kelly Morning After. This is 590 The Fan, KFNS. My name's Tim McKernan. Thank you for making me the best. Sitting next to me are people who are not the best. Doug Vaughn, not the best. Jimmy the Cat Hayes, not the best.
What kind of introduction is this exactly?
Well, he's just letting people know we are the two idiots that are alongside Tim McKernan.
These radio wars have caused inner turmoil on our station.
I think they might have. Doug, where'd you eat last night?
Yard House. The Yard House.
Yeah, you like that Yard House. How did
you? Well, it's been better.
Oh,
it's been better.
Live read.
Yeah.
Why don't normally, you do a live read for Guanabanas, who I am doing a live read.
Yeah,
for.
I should have gone there.
Guanabanas.
Yeah.
A little north of Jupiter. I guess it's in Jupiter. It's right across from the White House.
From the White House?
No. The Lighthouse. Now, the White House South is actually pretty close to where we are. Mar-a-Lago is fairly close. Are you going to go to Mar-a-Lago while you're down here?
I'd like to. Yeah. Maybe we could get Trump to come sit at the table.
I think he'd enjoy it.
He probably would.
He was just a couple blocks from here playing golf with Rory McIlroy on Sunday.
Was he? What did he shoot?
I think McIlroy said he shot an 80, actually.
Trump did?
Yeah, he's a pretty good golfer.
Yeah, that's good.
I mean, he's 70. He's a pretty good golfer, I hear tell. Guanabanas is where we'll be taking our clients next week. And if you're in spring training.
That's where I'm going, too.
Are you going there with Tyler and Aaron?
Yeah.
That's a great place.
I love that place.
Guanabanas, delicious seafood. It is so good. It's right on the water. And palm tree canopy. Doug, you always said it's a canopy of palm trees.
I've never really said that one time in my life.
Doug, you say ambiance is important. This place has it.
Well, that much
along
is
with
true.
Great food.
That's the place where they have that outdoor little bar, too.
Yeah, and you can pony up.
Yeah.
You got sauce there quite a few times.
I was thinking about asking you boys, but I didn't want you to, because I feel like if I ask, then you're like, oh, I guess I got to do it. Although I guess you guys would know you wouldn't have to, of course. But everybody should know they shouldn't have to or wouldn't have to if they didn't want to. But I figured something that would be right up the Plowhawk's alley and maybe Nick What Up Y'all's alley. I don't know about the Sea Monster. Taco Tuesday at Rocco's Tacos. You've done Rocco's Tacos, haven't you, the cat?
Yes, it's great. It's really great.
And you can, I don't know what the price was, but for a small amount of money, you have unlimited tacos at Rocco's Tacos
on Taco Tuesday. Oh.
And all you have to do is hold up your plate that's empty and go load it up.
Yeah. Or say more, sir, like, who said that? Oliver Twist.
Please, sir, I want some more.
And he's talking about porridge, but this is tacos.
Okay. But we missed that because this is Wednesday.
Right.
So we should have gone last night.
Yeah, you can fly back down Tuesday.
Well, it's probably not worth that.
Yeah, but you save money on the tacos.
Okay.
You never been there?
I've never been there.
Here's the thing that they do that's unbelievable. They make the guacamole right at your table.
Oh, wow, that is exciting. That makes it worth the flight back down.
You ever had fresh guac?
Well,
then don't knock it till you try it, mister.
I have. The thing with me is that when I'm hungry and I'm looking to go out for dinner, I never say, gee, I wish I had a taco. I never do.
But then when you get these...
If I have them, they're great. Yeah. But it's not the thing that I crave. So maybe I need to come back.
What do you crave? What's the one thing you crave?
I could eat chicken every night. I could eat some form of chicken almost every meal.
Blackened chicken? I like the blackened chicken. I like blackened seafood. Okay.
You don't like a chicken parmesan either.
Sure I do.
All right. You do like a chicken parmesan.
Well, sure.
Let's go out for chicken parmesan.
I'm busy.
Now you go with the
guacamole was right at my table.
Okay, how much did you put on the taco? Just a little bit.
No,
right?
I just had that with my chaps.
You're wearing chaps while you eat the tacos.
No.
Is that correct?
Chaps
with his fellowship partners.
Oh,
well,
your friends.
Just my wife, but yeah, chaps.
Okay.
Yeah, usually I've seen a lot of the Redbirds there before.
Yeah,
they like to hit that Taco Tuesday. I've seen Lance Lynn there, friend of the show, obviously. Marco Gonzalez, I've seen up there. I think your guy Pete Prinzi goes.
Strength and conditioning coach.
That's correct.
I've seen quite a few.
And they're all just eating as many tacos as they can stuff in their mouth.
That's right. You ought to do it.
It's very affordable.
It's so good. It's on. Is it on PGA the Cat? It's in Palm Beach Gardens. It's by PGA National. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's on PGA.
And then next to that thing, you know it.
Yeah. Is that close to that restaurant where I saw Sandy Koufax?
That's right. It's
year.
The place. And then last night. Getting off the elevator to go to Rocco's Tacos, and they made the guacamole right there.
Right at your table. Wow, that makes it so much better than if they just made it in the kitchen 10 feet away.
I agree with
you. Okay.
But I kind of feel like you're sharpshooting me.
Well, big crowd there, though.
Yeah, it's you got to wait. But I just, you know what I did? I ponied up and I had a jalapeno margarita, jalapeno.
Oh, that is so cool.
That is
for
cool.
For you to pony up and get a jalapeno margarita, I mean, that's as cool as it gets.
You ever go up and go, I'm in AM Sports Talk Radio, and I wait. They show you right to
I feel like I down in Florida especially, I say, do you know who I am?
Yeah.
Because with guys driving Lamborghinis and Bentleys,
and they're all about 25 years old, too,
right?
Just to make you feel a little bit worse about yourself.
6 foot tall models as girlfriends here in this area, I stand out because I'm 7 inches.
Did you ever
smaller.
Date a gal that was 6 feet tall, Tim?
You know what? Actually, I did in grade school.
She was 6 foot in grade school.
She had to be over 5'10" for real. Yeah, she wanted to play in volleyball at Indiana for the reals. Big Ten. Was
fourth,
like an all star.
Fourth or fifth grade, you were dating this gal?
8th grade. Yeah.
And she wasn't interested in the normal height boys?
What do you mean by that? You make it sound like I was touched.
I didn't stutter.
Well, anyway, my whole point in the story is not only that the guacamole was made table side.
Okay, great. Fantastic.
But that also, I'm getting out of the elevator last night. You know who I see?
No.
You know who I see? Take a guess.
And where were you?
At the hotel.
At the PGA?
You're right.
Tito Landrum.
Can we have...
No, but close.
Ray Langford?
No. Now, why would you go that direction?
I thought that was close to Tito Langford.
No, I would think that you would probably go Cal Ripken for Orioles from 83.
No. Give us initials, please.
S-S.
S-S. He saw Stan Stovall.
Stan Stovall from KSDK.
Right. S-S. You saw Steve Simpson.
Did see him.
S-S. Can we have a sport or something?
Football.
It's S-S.
The sport
Steven
of kings.
Smith.
Better than
Sam Snead.
No, I said football.
I didn't say
I saw a corpse.
That's right.
That would have been an issue.
S-S, you saw.
Sacha Baron Cohen.
Can we have the second letter of the first name, please?
T.
Steve.
I hope you didn't pick up a read.
Steven Smith.
Steven Seagal. There it is.
Steven
okay,
Seagal.
Steven Seagal.
That's what we're going with, Steven Seagal. Yes?
No.
How about the second
football.
Letter of the second
Anyone
name?
Anyone seen Bobby Lupo?
Second letter of the last name.
P.
Steve.
Spagnolo. Spag.
Sproul.
What is that, tripod there?
Steve Spagnolo.
No.
Oh, but that would have worked. Steve Sputter.
Spurrier.
Yes!
Spurrier! Got it. See, I knew we'd get it.
The head ball coach, friend of the show.
Right.
Wasn't he on with us a few months ago?
I think he was, yeah. Boy, that was easy to get.
Yeah, you guys got that right away.
I'd rather see Cal Ripken.
But he wasn't there.
One time at a seafood restaurant, this is the power of Tim McCarver. So we're out to lunch with Tim McCarver, and we're at this seafood place, and Cal Ripken's at the next table. And there's so much respect for Tim McCarver that it's Cal Ripken gets up, comes over, and I'm with Danny Mac too. And because we're with Tim McCarver, he doesn't know us. He comes over and he shakes our hands, too.
He has to pay homage.
Because it's Tim McCarver. That's the respect that Tim McCarver. I got to shake hands with Cal Ripken like he wanted to do it. He didn't know me.
Right.
Because you're with Tim McCarver.
You didn't even bother to get up because it was just Ripken, right?
Yeah, if I'd have been former Cardinal, I would have gotten up.
Right.
Renneria showed up. I would have dropped rose petals on the floor.
Now, does everybody know who Tim McCarver is when you go out with him at a restaurant or something? Everybody does.
Yeah. Really nice guy, and he'll be back this year with the broadcast. And
who's going to be on color commentary? Same group of gentlemen?
Same group. I think Ricky Horton. I think we start Saturday. No sidelines, so it'll be a better broadcast. And I think Ricky Horton is going to – I think he's doing the TV side. But they're going to mix it up, and I think we're going to give some of the guys that do post-game a look. I don't know the exact schedule. We got a nice stable, though.
Here's a weird thing going on right now. I don't know, Doug, I would say a 4-iron away down at Marlins camp, which we can see very clearly from here.
120 yards or so?
Well, that's a little light on a 4-iron.
Well, I know, but that's about how far they are, about 120 yards.
D. Gordon is at a barbecue pit smoker that is right behind Ichiro's traveling gym.
Yeah, they got a nice little barbecue going down there at the Marlins.
D. Gordon
park.
Was checking it out. And I guess they're barbecuing.
See, now,
I kind of like that.
Doug, this is your opportunity. Walk over there. Yeah. You just happen to know they're having food and go, anyone need fungo? Anyone need me to hit some ground balls?
I might take a little visit over there. What do you,
see, what do you think? Ribs? You think it's ribbies?
Probably so.
I like a good ribby.
Yeah, maybe pork steaks.
I don't know if pork steaks go outside of South St. Louis.
Yeah, I don't know why that is, because they're delightful.
They are. And but the with the change in security around here, I have a feeling if you tried to make your way over there, they would tase you.
It is a little tight around these parts these days.
The Cardinals have got everything organized right down to the last minute, all these drills, highly organized. You look over the Marlins, they got a barbecue going. They got two guys barely dressed, just kind of playing catch, who look like they might have been on your high school team somewhere. What's happening over there?
That is true. Yeah. It looks like about a 17-year-old who's trying to make the varsity.
Yep. What in the world?
Yeah. He's wearing like a black shirt, very high shorts, hot. I like to see his calves.
I guess they're in the middle of trying to sell that team. I guess maybe they've just kind of thrown up their hands and say, oh, it's not going to happen
this
year, fellas.
I think they could go 150-12 and still they'd get about 20,000 people there.
Yeah, so. They don't like the club down there.
Now there's just other things to do. A lot of hoos. A lot of hoos.
Well,
Rick Ankiel's going to do some of our spring training games along with Brad Thompson also and Ricky Horton, as I'm told.
I think
Allen there too.
What about Edmonds? He's calling games and doing studio too?
I think he's doing some, too. He's part of the mix as well.
Is he coming out of Jupiter?
I don't know.
He's been here taunting us.
I heard Mazalak say yesterday that he was going to come down in the Ozzie Smith role and work with outfielders at some point.
You would think that that's a smart move. No one does it better than Jimmy.
Guys, a four-iron for all of us, but a pitching wedge for you, Tim.
You really are
the best.
Yeah, you hit a pitching wedge 130. That's about what that is. You wouldn't really hit a four iron from here for there, would you?
How far do you think that is?
It's about 120 yards.
No, it's more than that.
No, it isn't.
Plowhawk, you're good at math. How far would you say we are from the barbecue pit and the 17-year-old in shorts and a black shirt throwing in Marlins camp, which looks like they're really locked in?
180, 210 yards.
That's a four iron.
I don't think that's two football fields away from us. That barbecue pit right there?
Oh, it's absolutely about two football field, buddy.
I don't know. Don't say buddy like that, like you're Mr. Expert Surveyor.
Yeah, like
or
you're
something.
Driving on I-70 in an 18-wheeler.
Anybody have engineering equipment? We could set up a tripod and, you know, that little thing that they do when they...
I just happen to have that in the van.
Have you? Well,
yeah,
go get that.
I thought we might need it today.
Maybe step it off, Plowsy.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah, good luck getting over there.
I mean, at this point, I assume there are snipers in the palm trees.
Well, if you look official.
Yeah, if you walk like you belong, they won't know.
You got a tape measure with you? You could keep measuring as you go, and then no one would say a word.
Doug, this comes from the SIUE alum Toilet Punisher. Doug, I'm serious. I played with Sonnenberg Asphalt on Sattersby, and he hit a pitching wedge 170.
Who hit a pitching wedge 170?
Sonnenberg Asphalt.
I'm not sure Mark McGwire could hit a pitching wedge 170.
I don't think Dustin Johnson hits a wedge 170.
What about Lou Ferrigno?
I think he'd even try.
He probably could.
I don't know. Maybe with a big wind to your back.
The wind is thick down here, isn't it? It's thick.
Well, I don't know that it's any thicker than it is anywhere else.
It's a good description, Tim.
Thanks.
Gotta give
it's
a lot
to you of it,
one.
If that's what you mean. There's a lot of wind. Sure, absolutely there is.
Especially with these storms on the horizon.
Well, it's actually kind of looking better, I think.
Bill DeWitt polling
him. Is that him? Yeah.
Chairman. Cardinal chairman is what he is.
Yeah.
What if I told him as he walked in that I'd like to buy him out?
You don't buy me out. I buy you out.
That's right. You don't come to Jupiter, Florida.
Who were the brothers that were chasing him out of New York? Who were the two brothers?
The Calpos, right?
Wasn't the Calpos. You can't trust the Calpos, though. They're still doing their thing.
In Aruba.
Yeah.
They never got arrested, did
they? Doug, I don't care what you say. He does it all the time.
He hits a wedge 170.
Yeah, it's from the SIUE Toilet Punisher. Oh, he's an alum. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, that's really long with the wedge. I don't know why you'd even want to try to hit a wedge that far, even if you could.
I mean, Doug, I don't know.
170. Jeez, I'm hitting probably a 4-iron from 170. And then I've got to hit it good.
No. Yeah.
All right, give the play-by-play on this.
John Seymour is walking up to Cardinals chairman Bill DeWitt to see if he would like to join us on the radio program. And it seems like it's in play at this point.
Look at his watch, which is a tell that he's not interested.
That is now going to tell you that he will not be joining us.
Yeah, would you look at the time? Yeah. Boy, just
well,
got
I think
here.
He still remembers the dung beetle episode from a few years ago, and he hasn't been on the show ever since.
I think he looked at his watch and said, would you look at the time? I just got here, and already I'm regretting it.
I have to do something else. Something else must be done.
were you gentlemen referring to Mr. DeWitt?
Yeah, he's right. going to join
us. He said
us,
he would come down in about a half an hour.
Wow, Doug.
All right.
Wow. I guess we got to put our big boy pants on.
I guess we should. We'll have to come up with some questions that aren't
No asking so about best body on the team or who would make the best Don.
Might be a case for us to make or time for us to make our case for the Navy caps, though.
Oh, yeah, he could probably change that. Yep. Sure he could. Let's just hit him with that right off the get-go.
Well, I was going to ask him if I could buy him out of the gate just to set a tone.
Okay. And when he says no, we'll say, well, what about the blue hats?
Right.
Lower your expectations yep. with that second. If we ask a ridiculous question at first, he's more likely to say yes to the second question.
Ooh, this is nice. This is the metagame.
Then you're going to call him Big Bank or something.
Doug, Mo Green thought the Corleones were getting chased out of New York by the Bazzinis and maybe Tattaglia. The Risotto brothers were giving the Corleones trouble in Godfather 2, though. Thanks.
Okay.
From the 314.
And it's just necessary that we rehash this on every show.
Yes.
Right?
Doug, if you can't break 80, who cares how far you hit your wedge? Thanks, Bush McGuire.
I can't break 80. I can't.
At least you're honest about it. Most
That's my goal
lie.
In 2017 is to break 80.
Most
you
got
to play a lot to break 80. I mean, you got to play a lot or be naturally gifted.
Why don't you cover Trump and golf with him?
I'd like to. I'd like to golf with Donald Trump. Well, you don't think that would be a hoot?
Why not compose
hours?
A nice letter and explain that you're a ne'er-do-well media guy looking for a change of scenery? How about
exactly
I cover you, and then you say you won't be an enemy? And then next thing you know, you're golfing with him. Next thing you know, you're shooting a 79.
Maybe a position in the cabinet somewhere.
How do you think you'd do doing the daily briefing, Doug? Having to explain a lot of things. How do you think you'd handle that? You're an affable guy.
Yeah.
How do you think you'd
just,
handle it?
Just say a lot less, maybe, than what Sean Spicer says. Wouldn't hit anybody with the podium. That would not be an easy job. Would not be an easy job to not get in trouble with one slip of the tongue. That takes a lot of talent.
I think you do a lot of this. Well, we're going to be looking into that. Yes, siree, looking into that. Next
yep.
question.
Quite a bit of that, yep.
Doug, you were talking to me about big boy lawns.
Yeah, I was wondering about your lawn and if you knew anybody at all that might be able to make it look like a big boy's lawn.
Yeah, Big Boy Lawns, actually, one of our sponsors here for spring training. It's all Big right. Boy Lawns, one of the wonderful sponsors on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Down south. South Florida and Palm Beach County, Jupiter, Florida. Is this Palm Beach County? Is Jupiter in Palm Beach County? I just keep saying
I think it is, yeah.
True.
I believe it is.
But Big Boy Lawns, one of our great sponsors. I'm telling you, this is who I've got doing my lawn this year. It's Big Boy Lawns, complete commercial and residential lawn care, landscaping and snow removal, for mowing, fertilization, shrub trimming and removal, tree trimming, sod install, aeration, and much more. Big Boy Lawns has over 12 years experience and treats each and every customer like family. You can email Kelly Kernan, no relation. We got stuck with the Mick thing at Ellis Island, and I'm still pissed about it. The owner directly at bigboylawnstl@gmail.com. Big Boy Lawns. Doug, let this big boy sweat for you. Big Boy Lawns.
Okay. Boy, it is nice when someone comes and takes care of your lawn.
John Vaughn does it for you.
Rarely will he get his fat butt off the couch.
Oh, my God.
And do anything in the way of yard work.
Damn it, why?
I mean, it's almost worth not even asking because of the fight that you get. What? That would take me 15 or 20 minutes. I'm busy eating.
Man, why are you hating?
Okay, how about after the double cheeseburger? Well, I don't know. We'll see. So I get out there with the lawnmower, start cutting away. That's usually how it works. Hey, chub, how about you get
That's
off the
not
couch
supportive.
And do a little lawn work? No, I've got a couple waffles to eat.
Maybe this is why he was wearing a Free Dotum shirt at the fight on
Could
Friday.
Could be.
I always looked at you as a parental role model, but after hearing you body shaming your son.
I don't get as much help with the lawn as I might like. That's why I'm thinking about this big boy lawn service.
Kelly Kernan.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, in the book, Sonny broke 80 at Pebble Beach one time. It's from the Jeffco Gentleman.
I don't think it is.
They spent time on his round at Pebble? I didn't know that. That's in the book?
I don't think it is. I didn't read the book. I didn't have to. I saw the movie, and I hear about it every day on this show, even though it's now, what, more than 40 years old?
So what? Stoli Vodka, distilled three times to yield the finest quality. Stoli set the standard for vodka in 1938 and has been upholding it ever since. Visit Stoli.com, one of our wonderful sponsors on our spring training trip down here in Jupiter, Florida. Stephen Piscotty with us in the 7 o'clock hour, along with the Plowhawk, grading out at 10.
Did a great, except for the ad-libs, he was perfect.
He ad-libbed a little bit, but he felt obligated to fill time, and I understand that. You got a little brief walk between the next player, and you kind of just give your thoughts on what just took place as Eugene revealed that he had the best body on the Cardinals. I wonder if that was O who said Eugene had the best body?
Yes, it was.
It was.
Because
you speak Korean.
Because, the translator, Eugene Koo, takes that very seriously. So he'll never say something that O hasn't said.
Wow.
I did stop by. I didn't know that they would make a great guest when we had a short window, as we did with Stephen Piscotty. But I always check to see what new English phrases that O has, because he has a number of phrases to shut down the media. Mm-hmm. Like, thank you, maybe next time.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I have a meeting.
I forget. There's something along those lines he told me last year, and this one is take your time.
Take your time. Yeah. But you speak quite a bit of Korean. Didn't you go to summer camp in Pyongyang?
I actually was golfing with Sung Jung Un.
Okay.
And he shot a 12, which is pretty good.
Did he?
Yeah, I saw it.
Well, that's a heck of a score. It looks like the general manager is either ready for us or he's angry at us. That's an angry look.
Oh, my gosh. I feel like it's about to go
let's
down.
Let's do it.
Cardinal general manager John Mozeliak, this is an important moment because yesterday we had, quote, a situation. He walks up to the Plowhawk, shakes his hand, and now sits down at the Post Sports Bar and Grill picnic table, removes a rag to dry the picnic table, places the coffee down delicately.
Gently, yes.
Yeah. And prepares for this, what I was describing, Mo, as a Geneva summit.
Are we live?
Yeah, we are. Okay, good. We're live to more than 10 people in St. Louis.
You were not here for the Plowboys Q&A this morning with new parameters.
That's right.
The marching orders were to follow the rules. We think he did that. And you were not here to see it. Have you gotten any reports whether or not we did our job making sure Plowboy did his?
So let's just sort of back up a minute.
Let's back up. Back up. We're backing up.
Damn.
First and most important question is, do you think I actually care?
Clip that off.
Yep.
Clip that off.
The answer is no.
Well, you did take us to the woodshed on...
Right, but I assume, like, once that happens, it's fixed, right? So,
like, and you're glaring at me like...
had it not been, you guys think you'd be sitting here today?
We feel like it's a tradition the players have come to really love every February and March.
Have you gotten any feedback like that?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I mean, I heard people asking me about you guys last week.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Where were you?
Yes, see, Doug, I told you.
Really? But in a happy sort of way.
They love
absolutely.
Yes,
no,
yes.
Absolutely. And I was like, well, we're trying to keep them away.
Yeah, what? Oh, don't doubt that.
What?
And they thought that was funny. and so here we are.
Now, we made the corrections, but then we did throw another obstacle in your way. We have a giant van.
I'm going to see Mr. Tuno shortly.
Uh-oh.
Oh, don't. Why?
Would you rather me pick someone else?
Brian Barto.
You could just tell. Barto. You could
so
just.
Is Barto a pushover? And
No. No.
You just
asked a question.
No, we're just saying.
Are you on the team anymore, or are you just sort of like quiet Bob?
I'm just quiet.
Them off.
I'm trying to get off this job.
I hear you.
I've got applications in all
the but you could just say you could move that van. You understand that because of the rain, we needed a plan B, and it's a big, spacious van, and we thought we could scurry into the van and keep the broadcast going because, as you know, we have many, many listeners who enjoy the program.
Yep.
You know, this is concerning.
Uh-oh.
Are we doing a selfie?
No.
Oh, sweet. Right. You do Snapchat?
I'm going to take a picture of
this. Pretend he's taking a selfie.
Before I have that toad.
Evidence. That's
yes,
evidence.
Exactly. So,
yeah, I noticed when you pulled in this morning, you kind of gave that van the once-over. You're like, that's probably not Molina's car.
That came to mind for sure. But it sticks out. It was actually affecting how I park, and therefore it becomes a problem. And I know that sounds awful, but move it. Now.
John Mozeliak, kind enough to sit down with us here on the radio program. They moved everything up. Now, we feel like everything revolves around us, of course, but it actually had to do with the storms. But now, no storms this morning, at least so far, knock on picnic tables.
I prepared for rain, but so far it's stayed away, which is good. Can get our work in and have a successful day, hopefully.
As they plan the day, though, do they give any thought to, hey, if we go out early, that's less player availability for the
local
Ryan
media.
Kelly morning after. Maybe we... maybe we move it back and we'll take a chance with the
ring. I think Mike mentioned that to me this morning.
And you and Doug, I told you they talked about us.
You think maybe we overestimate our place
I don't. I really don't.
I said, Skip, yeah, that's a great idea. It's very thoughtful. I mean, look, Skipper gets beat up a lot for, you know, not being as gracious with his time or to perhaps the media, but I just want to let you know he was thoughtful about this.
I didn't know that. Yeah. We're learning all kinds of things here this morning. Mm-hmm.
I don't think he gets beat up too bad, do you? Is he really sensitive that the media's hard on him?
Oh, I don't know if he's sensitive or not. I'm just merely saying he was looking out for all of you.
Yeah,
well, that's a nice gesture. Maybe you should be quiet, Bob.
Well, I'd like to.
We're making progress here with the general manager, and you're putting a negative spin on it.
Well, if they feel like we're being unfair, I think we should know that. And
we asked about frozen pizza.
I wasn't implying that at all. I was just merely saying he was just hopefully making sure that your accommodations and your access to players was meeting your expectations.
Thank you very much. Yeah. See?
Well,
told you, Doug.
Yeah, okay. We're going to feel a little bit better about
that. Let's not antagonize the guests. Well,
I don't want to make enemies.
I feel you are. and more importantly, I don't think you understand how welcoming we try to be to your team. But maybe we just get rid of Doug and you guys feel good.
But that would be okay.
In fairness,
like that idea.
There are a lot of changes, and I was concerned.
Day-to-day contract, huh, Timmy?
That's the way it is. Independent contractor. Well.
He also has my boss at Fox's number on speed dial. He tells me that, too.
That's true.
That could end. But, right, there, I mean, people get wanded coming in. It's Major League Baseball protocol with security in mind. We all get that. And the fact that we're still at a picnic table in the general vicinity of the clubhouse, I think it's a minor upset. Was that ever something that you guys looked at, or are we such a small, tiny blip on the radar that it wasn't even a thought of?
No, I can honestly say, which I don't know how much I have said today has been honest, but I can honestly say that we did think about your group, and we didn't want to feel like on that side of the fence. We thought this would work out splendidly, and I hope it has.
Take that kill coin. Take that kill coin.
Yep.
Yeah, that was a good show yesterday.
Now you just made a sound like you were exasperated. Oh. Why is that?
Well, it was long. Hey, Mo, can I get you for a couple minutes? Yeah, sure, Martin.
And then what happened?
I wound up 17 minutes later. Exhausting. Exhausting.
Nice. Take that, midday grind.
After all these years, has Martin come any closer to crafting a decent question?
Yes. Yeah. Right, talented individual. You guys are lucky to have him here on your show.
Oh, so you're taking that's a shot at Marlowe, then.
Who?
Clip that off immediately.
John Mozeliak, kind enough to sit down with us here at the picnic table. I could be wrong on this, and I would imagine you probably have this information. Maybe there's been one year since, but I swear since 2011 there has been some kind of bad news right here with something that, you know, unfortunately happened, whether it be with injury or whatever the case might be.
Where are you going with this?
This sucks with Reyes is what I'm saying.
Well, I think, you know, look, it's a business, and our business, there's injuries. I don't think you can...
It's been happening. It just sucks.
I know you're a fan, Timmy, I know you live and breathe it, but...
Isn't it weird, though, also? I mean, I'm 40 now, and I'm still kind of nerding out.
Right, the Navy caps on the road.
I would like the Navy caps back on the road. I think that's important.
Yeah, but let's get back to the end.
He doesn't care about the hats.
He's trying to stick it in there for you.
When Mr. DeWitt sits down, I'll really get into that.
Bill, avoid this table. No, I really feel like you know, injuries happen, and for us, it's you know, not to sound cold or overly businesslike, but it is spilt milk, and so you have to sort of move on. And I think the one great thing about this organization is we've always been able to take that step forward, even when we do get bad news or an injury that does look like it could slow us down. But, you know, clearly losing Reyes is not good news. I get it. Whether he was on our club when we broke camp or would he have been contributing midway through? I think the answer is yes to somewhere in that gray area. But more importantly, he's a talent, and he's not available, and that's a bummer.
I feel like when you were talking about him, whereas those of us, of course, on the outside looking in, were just like, oh, it's inevitable, he's in the rotation. You weren't as forceful with your words regarding that, and I don't know if that was psychological to make him go, okay, you got to earn this thing, or if you guys truly were like, no, I mean, there's a number of spots that are up for grabs.
Oh, absolutely. And part of when you have camp, you're trying to create depth. And, you know, this is exactly why you do that, because injuries do happen. And, you know, hopefully this is our one bad piece of news throughout the year, and we can move forward.
How do you analyze the other guys in the mix for a spot in the rotation to replace Reyes?
Well, I think clearly it's Walker's job to lose. And, when you look at sort of his last few years, health has sort of been driving his ups and downs. And, he changed his offseason programming. He feels stronger. He's definitely more confident in what he's capable of doing. And I think he... our expectations with him are going to be high, but now given Reyes's injury, it certainly opens up the door for him.
In terms of what he's been through, because it's a unique thing and it's kind of recurred in a different area, I mean, health-wise, do you look at him as a probability of getting through, as a question mark, when you try to assess what he can be this year?
I think that's a fair question, because when you look at his performance over the course of a six-month season, you have seen it regress in the outer months. So I think that's what we have to focus on, preparation and making sure that we can get him through that. So what does that look like, or what does that mean? And that means understanding volume, innings, pitch counts, and trying to see if we can find a way to protect him. And then, when you look at our schedule, especially in April, a lot of off days, and I think this is something that we can manage.
It has to be hard as a general manager to know.
Look at it. Look who it is.
What, did you want me to interrupt you?
Bam. Now Doug's coming back.
Here comes an attack question.
Mr. Vaughn.
It has to be hard to know who to invest in as a pitcher. It seems like all the starters go through Tommy John surgery at one point or another, and you don't really know even what age. Reyes is a perfect example. It's not necessarily the pitcher who's thrown for 10 years that's going to need it. So how do you make that judgment on who to spend all these dollars on?
Well, I mean, that is the tricky part of being a general manager is to understand risk, understand how you think about your investment. But I think in someone like Reyes's case, the investment was made as an amateur, clearly talented, rose up to be one of the top prospects in the game. It's unfortunate that we lose him to injury, but I think the good news is this type of injury, players typically recover and end up contributing in a very positive way. And so my hope is he misses this year, and this time next year we're talking about him and we feel good about it.
And it seems like no one has really figured out definitively how to avoid this injury.
Well, clearly no one has. And, I think part of it's genetics. I think part of it's mechanics. I think part of it's workload. I think a lot of it derives from what you did when you were 10. There are a lot of different factors and variables, and some of which, even as an organization, you're never going to completely understand. Now, for the betterment of baseball, for the betterment of the organization, we certainly are trying to get a better understanding of how to protect the individual, but there's no perfect science out there to do that yet, as of yet.
As I look at the Cardinals, and one of the things you guys stressed is you got to be better defensively, and the impression you get is Colton Wong at second base will get every opportunity to make that his because he seems to be a defensive upgrade. Hadn't quite hit, hadn't been the offensive force you were looking for. What are your concerns about Colton, and what are your feelings on the probability that he'll be what he's been at every level of professional baseball, offensively?
Well, I think he's a talented young man. I think given an opportunity to play every day from a defensive standpoint, I think he has a chance to be a gold glove type defensive player. I think he's got to avoid taking his at-bats out on the field, trust himself. I think he's noted publicly that he feels like when he was in that playoff run and he had the showing the power in those short periods of time that he got away from what he normally did. And so he has to get himself back on track. I think he's capable of doing it, but still very much bullish on his talent.
John Mozeliak sitting down with us right now here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. I feel like it's already been evident the impact Dexter Fowler's personality has. He just seems like a really happy human being. What have your thoughts been so far on his impact in the clubhouse and camp?
I think it's a little early to say as far as like impact, but I think your observation is dead on. I mean, he's just has an infectious personality. He's obviously somebody that when he speaks, he's thoughtful. He understands what he's talking about. I find him extremely charming and someone that I think is just going to be a very positive influence on this club in many ways. And so I'm thrilled that he's a Cardinal. I think when I look at what he's going to bring to the city of St. Louis and to the team specifically, I think it's just great news for us to have someone like that that has the social awareness that he has, the understanding of what's going on in the world, and I admire that.
I felt like he caught unfair BS for what he was saying was impacting his wife and his daughter with the comments a couple of days ago. How do you guys view, not necessarily Dexter's comments, but as an organization, a player speaking, you know, what you just made reference to, Mo, social awareness?
Well, a couple things. One is, what he was commenting on was something that was affecting him personally. And as you can imagine, if someone asks you a question and it directly affects your family, you're going to have an answer. And you certainly should. And I don't think what he said was a political barb at anyone other than the fact that he has family that can't get into the country. And then secondly, when I think about the organization, Major League Baseball, he represents both, but he also represents himself. And for him to be able to have the ability to have freedom of speech or the ability to comment on any issues, I think that's welcoming. And my third point is, and probably the point that I admire most about Dexter, is he's actually aware. He understands what's going on in the world. It's not like it's just someone that's like making some off-the-cuff comment with nothing to back it up. He understands, and I've followed him on Twitter for a while now, and I think just his presence on what he means is going to be important to all of us. When I say that, it sounds a little dramatic, and I don't want to overplay this, but it's just nice to know that you have a player that has that social awareness of what's going on, and not just, you know, nationally, but even specifically of what's going to be going around St. Louis. And I do think he's going to make an impact on that. And I think, again, I think it's going to be positive for the 24 other players. It's going to be positive for the St. Louis Cardinals and hopefully for the city of St. Louis.
Fowler, good on base percentage, guys. Diaz, Carpenter.
Back to baseball.
I enjoyed that line. Do you follow us on Twitter, by the way?
Yes, he does.
Why are you answering for him, yo?
Well, because I don't know, but he sees all. I can tell you that much. Is that true?
Yeah.
He sees all.
Might have to back down on some of my retweets.
Wait, hold on. One of the things we just...
Especially Mr. Family Guy.
We have discussed... Are you wagging
your finger? You just wagged your finger at me. It was like Joe Namath running off the football field.
I'm going to switch back. Why are you wagging your finger at me?
No, keep on the baseball. He knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I mean, it's how I built the business.
I don't look at Twitter like, you know, everything you tweet, but mostly it's Cardinal birthdays and,
really?
You know, that
really.
I've seen.
Some of it isn't.
No, mostly Cardinal birthdays and things about finding Bigfoot.
That's correct.
You guys lost an awful lot of power. You get Fowler, good on base percentage guy. You know, you figure Diaz, Carpenter, all good on base percentage guys near the top of the lineup. Are you guys going to be like a totally different operation offensively, or do you think you will retain some of the power last year in spite of losing some of the guys that hit a lot of home runs?
I would say I think the perception of this power drop-off is probably not as dramatic as people are making it out to be, but more importantly, what you want to be able to do is just score runs, right? So that's the name of the game, and whether that means having more athleticism, being able to go first to third, and taking advantage of opportunities, that's really the goal of this club. And so, you know, obviously it's early on. We haven't played one game in spring training as of yet, but that's what I would anticipate you're going to be able to watch. And I do think it makes for more exciting baseball, but I do think our run production should be equally as high.
Can we get back to the Twitter thing? What kind of social media policy do you have to the players? Well, I think this is
important. Okay, that's a fair question.
Because
I thought you were going a different direction.
No, we're in a world where one...
I'm
going to
apologize.
One bad tweet can really...
Kidding. Keep going. Don't lose track.
Well, I haven't lost track. I just keep getting interrupted. The question was a simple one, really. What kind of social media policy do you have for players, knowing that you say one bad sentence, one bad tweet, and, you know, the whole world comes unglued?
Yeah. You know, it's a great question,
and one that I
feel like when you think about from an organizational standpoint, we certainly want to provide all the players with tools to understand how to best utilize social media, because this generation certainly does it. But you got to be careful, and you have to understand what topics will create ire, if you will, with the public, and we just try to give them advice on how to manage that. And, of course, mistakes happen. sometimes in the world, when you make one, you can't recover. Others can. And, you know, we just try to give them the right path to avoid that major misstep, if you will.
I would imagine that it would be a very difficult decision for a guy like yourself who understands people have opinions and you're not trying to police that. When it's time to say something to a player, I don't know a case, but will you look at something going on their Twitter feed to say, maybe that's not a good idea for you and us?
Well, I think you always have to remind yourself you live in a glass house. And if you do that, don't throw stones, because ultimately it's going to come back and get you. And so, you know, I certainly like the idea of having people that are socially aware, that are socially active, that have opinions. And I admire that. It's just there's lines you can cross when you start to offend people. And that's something that we want to make sure our young players have a good understanding of. You know, veteran players, most older players don't even do much on social media today. It's more of that younger generation, and that's the one that we have to focus on training and making sure we educate.
We had Eduardo Perez, and he said one of the things that he thinks takes away from chemistry and team building is that everyone's on social media and kind of players can do their own things. Do you think that there's anything to that younger generation so tied into social media kind of interferes with the bonding process?
I don't feel social media is what's pulling it apart. I think it's these.
Yeah, the phones. Yeah.
It's more of like when you walk into a clubhouse and you see, you know, head down, thumbs moving. I don't put the parallel to social media. I just put the phone out there, and who knows what's actually taking place, right? I mean, you could be playing a game, solitaire, towards you know, getting your news feed that day. But, you know, everybody uses it for different reasons, but I do feel that interaction's changing. And I hear parents talk about it all the time with their own children. And you have to understand, as we're aging, this other group is coming up, and they're the ones that are more comfortable with technology and how they use it and how they communicate. And, you know, I can certainly, you know, just cite examples of just, you know, contract negotiations. When I first started doing this, everything was over the phone. Sometimes you would fax a version of your offer. You know, today none of that exists. And, you know, you might do a complete negotiation via text. And so it's just the world's changed.
That's got to be tough, because sometimes the negotiations would be brutal anyway, but the written word loses the context of the tone of the spoken word.
Well, I agree with that, and so sometimes I just will pick up the phone and go old school. But it's sort of funny to have to say it that way, right? And that's how much is changing right now in our business. And you know, the good thing about our industry and really industries in general is, you know, if you're willing to accept change, usually good things happen.
They allow phones in the dugouts? No.
No.
It's a definite no.
Yeah.
What do you think, guys? iPad.
I bet they sneak it in there. I bet there's been more than one snuck in the dugout.
It's a pretty steep penalty if you get caught. But you are allowed iPads, but there's no Wi-Fi connection.
Huh. That's good.
So just the slow speeds will stop all that.
Well, the idea is so you don't have to carry the thick binders out there. You can upload everything you want from a strategic standpoint as far as scouting reports onto the iPad.
Oh, yeah.
But you can't, like, for example, pull up an instant replay.
Ah, I see what you're saying. Right. That makes
Dave
sense.
Dave Duncan's old school notebooks have been replaced with the iPads.
I still see notebooks out there, but more teams are gravitating to the iPad.
I think Lily still has a notebook, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm sure.
Mo, I'm curious. Our audience is very...
I was just wondering, do you guys have like commercial breaks in there?
Not many. We can't sell anything.
Yeah. Right. This sell. Thing.
Yeah. I see why.
It's a 501c.
Free radio.
That's right.
I'm curious. You know, our listeners are very proud of the fact that they captured Dexter Fowler in line to fly to St. Louis at McCarran International Airport from Las Vegas in December. So, therefore, they're taking credit, and understandably so, and from my standpoint, Doug, justifiably so, for breaking the Dexter Fowler signing. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts on the Morning After fan page impacting Dexter Fowler's coming to St. Louis?
You know, I used to get upset with these things, but I don't anymore.
Can't do anything about it.
Right. And so... Had to fly him back private, though, on the way home. Just to let him have some peace. But, Yeah, and that was probably my mistake for just putting him on a commercial flight to begin with. But anyway.
Yeah, it didn't look like he was in the A-group either.
Lesson learned. No, he should have been.
A-group.
Were you aware, though, that it was our listeners that broke that story and another reason why to hold our show in disdain?
So it was one of ten. That you.
That was a painful snipe, right?
Yeah, but tough but fair.
Painful.
Tough but fair. The analytics
tentacles.
What are the odds?
Everywhere. We have tentacles.
Yeah, one
everywhere.
Of ten people could have been in Las Vegas that day.
Now, one of the things.
Not shocking to your listeners, though. And it was Vegas versus, you know.
One of the
Dallas.
Things. As a hashtag rights holder that thinks the Cardinals are going to be decent this year. I get it all the time. We talk about it on the show. The Cardinals did not do enough to close the gap with the Cubs. You hear that. How do you respond when you hear that?
Very simply, I think, you know, like, we have a lot of confidence in this club. When you look at the pieces we have in place, you know, certainly chasing things to keep up with the Joneses, if you will, it can be a little dangerous. I also feel like when you look at dollars spent this offseason, I think we were the top organization for that. And ultimately, I think it was about being very precise in who we went after. And adding Cecil and adding Fowler, I think, were two key pieces that will make our club better. You know, there's been seasons where we've been predicted to do very well, and there's been seasons we've been predicted to do very bad, and we've outperformed or underperformed both of those predictions. So the great thing about our game is you got to play it, and so that's what I look forward to this year.
Do you see similarities at all between what we saw in the late 90s, early 2000s with that Yankees-Red Sox perceived, you know, war between those two franchises, especially in off seasons? Of course, I played in postseason a number of times with you and the Cubs.
You know, clearly there's a good rivalry, and you know, for many decades it wasn't, but right. Here we are, and it should be a fun matchup. And you look at our head-to-head last year, it was very competitive, and I'm hopeful you'll see a repeat of that this year.
Final question, and Doug, it was getting texted in, so I feel like I have to be the messenger here.
All right.
But the audience, French fry is very important to our audience. I'm assuming you're well aware of that. But they say you're a very healthy guy.
Yeah, we talk about French fries a lot because we're a dumb show.
Right.
Now, so, did that put in context
fries
for you?
Shocking.
So you are a healthy guy. So what's your favorite French fry? What kind of fry, you know, the cut of the fry? Do you like the sweet potato fry lower in the carbs?
Or steak fry. Like, I'm steak a steak fry guy.
Right. I mean, some people really enjoy the waffle fry, the thin cut with seasoning. I mean, there's a lot of things to work with here.
You're blaming me for this question. Again, you're glaring at me.
I just don't know.
Yeah, because it's a great question.
Well, no.
So many options.
There's your question of the day, correspondent.
Who's that?
Plowboy. You don't know Plowboy?
Tell him to be quiet. That was distracting.
I'm sorry, Plowboy.
All right, how about this? And if you find yourself having a French fry, I know you're careful about what you eat. Do you put ketchup on it?
Well, I still want to hear the answer to the first one. I mean,
well, he's dodging it. Obviously, he's dodging it.
I would say traditional fry.
What's traditional fry, though? I don't know what that means.
With a little seasoning.
Ooh, now we're talking, Doug. Now we're starting to talk.
Yeah, this is revealing.
And not baked, but fried.
Nice.
And I would say a little ketchup would be fine.
Nice. And, like, where's the last place you might have had fries so we can sort of visualize what type of fry? Because when you say standard fry,
there's so many. I had a few fries the other evening at Jetty's.
Jetty's fries.
Those are thin fries.
Those are thin fries.
Right.
Those are thin fries.
I thought that was traditional. Restaurant?
Yeah, that's traditional. That's the traditional
That's
fry.
What I was trying to imply, that I got scoffed at and then kicked off the show because of that.
But I don't know if those are particularly thin, those fries.
Yeah,
they're not that thin.
Well, we're going to go toe-to-toe on this one.
Yeah, right. We'll get you we'll Snapchat a picture. After game six of the 2011 World Series, you're like, you know what? You buckle the belt and you say, yeah, I'm going to reward myself with a steak fry after what David Fries did.
I did not.
Wow, kind of surprising.
It's a good way. It's shocking, and it's the headline of this interview. That's for sure.
There were some.
I probably had a very nice bottle of wine though after Game Seven.
Yeah, I would imagine that was probably the case. John Mozeliak, the Cardinal general manager.
How did we do on this interview? Good. Do we?
Yeah, grade us out.
It's not for me to grade or judge.
No,
it's really up to all of you. If you feel like this helped your show, then I'm glad I could be a part of it. If it didn't, then. So shame on all of you.
All right, I read body language. I'm going to say A-. Thank you for that. Thank you, John, for the A-.
Yeah, it's fun.
John Mozeliak, the Cardinal general manager with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Yes, you can.
Oh, absolutely. Sorry to take it.
Yeah. Awesome. I think you've appeared about 55 minutes total on our station in the last 24 hours.
Write me a check.
It might be it for a little while. The Cardinal general manager with us here. Kind of surprising he didn't have a steak fry after game six of the 2000.
It's not that surprising. They don't have a lot of fries in the clubhouse. He may have gone down there to had a bite to eat, and maybe just no fries. I don't know. Maybe the fry cook was sick.
I would have hit the Cracker Barrel after that win. And they have steak
fries. You would have to the one in Fenton.
Yeah, that's where I go. How'd you know?
Yeah, because you've said that a few times.
No.
As soon as Freeze hits the home run, you don't even talk to anybody else. You get right in the car, head out on 44, rock a little bit on the rocking chairs on the porch, play the little tea game to see how few
tees you're
gonna
have, game.
And then you order your chicken fried steak at Cracker Barrel.
Right.
That's a pretty cliche way to end it.
I give Tim credit on this because I remember finishing up post-game interviews, and the first thing we did was we got steak fries. Yep. You know, I didn't have a hand in the victory. I didn't put the team together, but I felt like I was a small part of it, and I should reward myself with steak fries.
Thank you, sir.
You felt that way.
Yeah, a lot of people did.
Thank you, sir. Wow, revealing, as you said. That was revealing. That was behind the curtain.
I didn't have any fries that night because I was in the parking lot beyond right field. They didn't have fries out there.
No offense, Kilcoyne and Charlie. Like, should we ask them about the fries? No, we're too scared.
Right. Yeah.
We're bloodthirsty journalists.
Hey, Tim, when you get a chance, can you say, very nice. It gives me and all my buddies boners. Thanks. That's from Tommy Mites.
Well, he's new.
I think he won the hot dog eating contest against Larry, if I'm not mistaken.
Tommy Mites?
Yeah. Do you remember that?
Tell us no. I don't. I don't remember Tommy Mites.
Larry ate two.
There was
a picture of him that looked like it was taken from the morgue. And that's when we began the metabolic
After
meals
two.
And Chrissy began working out with him. And I don't know where that stands, by the way, based on our Facebook Live. It seems like it might be in a bit of a siesta. Mm-hmm. Hey, you know what we need to do is break. It's the 8 o'clock hour coming to an end, brought to you by Sildenafil, the same active ingredient in Viagra, offering the same results but with massive savings. To learn more, call Goldsmith MediCenter Pharmacy at 314-432-5020. A lot there from the interview with John Mozeliak, specifically about our Twitter accounts, my retweets, mm-hmm. and then also French fries. And I tried to hold his feet to the fire on the blue hats thing. I don't know how far we got with it.
Well, he shut you right down.
Yeah. Right, yeah. So
he didn't have a real answer. That's why you shut him down.
Exactly. Nick, what up, y'all? You got video of that, weren't you? You were all over the place. So you want to go to InsideSTL.com and see this video we're getting, because Nick's doing a hell of a job. And you can see the Plowhawk interact with the players for question of the day, and that's always a highlight of our spring training coverage. But now you can see it because Nick is right there like a 60 Minutes correspondent with that new rig that he has.
Well, it's not a rig. It's a camera. I don't know why we're calling it a rig. A rig, I think of a big truck, right? A semi, that's a rig. This is a camera.
Watch this. I have a semi now.
You're awfully
pretty good. Pretty
you're
good,
awfully
huh?
critical of our operation.
Let's be sharper with our nomenclature.
Ooh, I like that.
I knew that was going to be a good sentence before I ever said it.
I got to say, pretty good. Pretty good.
A little bit. It's Ryan Kelly Morning After Live from Cardinal Spring Training here on 590 The Fan, KFNS.